It's time for Football Asia with Paul Williams.
Yes, time for our weekly chat with Paul from the Asian Game podcast. Evening to you, Paolo. How are you?
Good, Simon. How are you going, Alex?
Very Paul. Good, very good. We've got some interesting topics this week for Football Asia. Now, the AFC have released the coefficients and the allocations for their club competitions in 2023. It is not good news for Australia.
It's not. And we've known this for quite some time now. I mean, this has been talked about. We've talked about this on the show for on a number of occasions. It's been spoken about for a number of months. What it essentially means is that from 2023, the A-League men's competition will only receive one automatic spot in the Champions League and no playoff spots. Those playoff spots instead will now qualify directly for the second tier AFC Cup competition, and that competition is broken up into regional zones. So the A-League men's teams will compete in the ASEAN zone against teams from likes of Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, Cambodia, Indonesia, et cetera, so it's going to throw up some fascinating away days when it happens. But it's not the glory of the Champions League like we're used to in the past, taking on the might of the big Chinese Super League teams when they were big, or Japanese and Korean teams as well. So it'll throw up a different challenge than what the Champions League has.
And Paul, you and I had a text exchange when these coefficients and allocations came out, and I said to you, are we the third nation with a previous winner of the Champions League to be relegated, if that's the right term, to having teams in the AFC Cup after Syria, because the Al Karama won it in 2006, and Thailand with Bektero, which was a few years before. And you said sort of the modern iteration, we might be the first, which is not great, really, is it?
No. I think Al Karama made the final in 2006. I'm not sure they won. I think John Book won it that year in 2006. But they certainly made the final in 2006. So, Bektero qualified a few years before that as well. But I would imagine we're the first in the modern era. Obviously, Thailand's still got teams in the Champions League as well. Obviously, we know what's happened with Syria. So I would imagine we're the first we haven't dropped completely out, but we're certainly very, very close to it. If our performances don't improve next year to improve our rankings points, we're going to have to hope our teams get some good performances next year to get some points on the board. And then when we get into the AFC Cup, we continue to perform well. Then in a couple of years, we might earn those spots back in the Champions League.
Talking of our teams, the national team could potentially, the men's national team that is, be playing their away game against China somewhere other than China, back in the Gulf maybe, because China's suffering a fresh COVID outbreak at the moment.
It's a home away from home, the Gulf for us at the moment. We certainly know we'd be comfortable there. Yeah, there was talk that this match against China was going to move and be played back in China. Of course, China played their opening two home fixtures, like Australia, away from home in the Gulf, firstly in Qatar and then in the UAE. There was talk that this one was going to go back to China in Suzhou, but as you said, a fresh COVID outbreak has cast doubt on that. And speaking to a friend of mine on the ground in China, he said it's all but confirmed that it won't be played in China. So I imagine now that'll probably go back to Sharjah, where they have been based previously, just outside Dubai. Australia will be comfortable there. We know that region very, very well. We've played our home games there as well. So I don't think that will cause too many issues for Football Australia and the Socceroos staff having to navigate playing another game there.
To be fair, heading into November as well, it won't be as hot, which is a
good thing. Conditions will be perfect, yeah.
And what about the Olurus? They've started their qualifying and won their first game 3-2 against Indonesia.
They did in Dushanbe, so I'm sure they would have liked to have not conceded that second goal late on. Taking a 3-1 lead in would have been a little bit more comfortable into the second leg, but they take a lead in regardless, and there were some fantastic goals in that game from the Australians. So Jacob Italiano with a peach for our third goal was probably the pick of the bunch. What I find interesting with these qualifiers, and it goes, I guess, a little bit to football culture, and that's a bit of a broader discussion, is that, you know, we couldn't even get a stream for these games via the official channels. There was one floating around on YouTube, I think a lot of people were watching. Vietnam are playing their qualifiers in Bishkek. And I'm told from a good friend of mine in Bishkek that Vietnam have arranged for the kickoff time to match prime time back in Vietnam. There's a small handful of journalists who've travelled over to cover the games as well. And all the advertising hoardings around the ground have been sold to Vietnamese companies as well. And I guess that shows just how seriously they take this, that they're putting so much effort into it, that they're sending journalists across to cover it. Meanwhile, we can't even get a stream of it to watch back here in Australia. So it's just a contrast in how different nations approach their Olympic program. A lot of other nations put these games on TV as well. So hopefully that's something that can be sorted out in the future.
Just before we round things out with a look at the club game in both Japan and Korea, I want to ask you about the Women's Asian Cup. The 12 teams for those finals in India at the start of next year now confirmed. The draw is going to be soon, and there's a couple of great stories among them.
The draw is tonight, actually. You might have been on air.
There you go.
You might have been on air when it happened, so I'm not too sure. So the draw has happened, and I don't know whether AFC were in playing hot balls and cold balls, but of course Australia's been drawn with the Philippines, which means they will go up against Alan Stajic.
Oh, there you go. The Matildas against the Malditas.
It had to happen, didn't it? I'm sure they employed some hot balls and cold balls to make it happen. Australia's been drawn in Group B with Thailand, the Philippines, Indonesia. And while on paper that looks pretty easy, I think what's interesting now is the crossover between those groups. So assuming Australia finishes top of Group B, which you would expect them to do, they play the runner-up of Group C. And Group C has Japan, Korea, Vietnam and Myanmar. They could end up having to play one of Japan and Korea then. In the next round, if they do finish top of the group, the pass then through after the group stage through to the final becomes a little bit more tricky, having to play the bigger teams in Asia then. But I guess that's what the tournament's all about. You've got to beat them if you want to win the title. So
absolutely. Last question. Let's go domestic football. Kevin Muscat on the brink of taking Yokohama F. Mariners into the Champions League for 2022. And conversely, in Korea, pretty bad week for Ulsan.
They almost certainly, Muscat will qualify Yokohama for the Champions League. They're pretty comfortable in second spot now. But the title charge, they look like they were on a month or so ago, hasn't really eventuated. Only won two of their last five. And I haven't seen all of their games, but some of the reports I'm seeing from Marinos fans suggest they're not playing particularly well at the moment. So I think it'll be a really interesting off-season for Kev as well. They're not going to win the league this season. Fans don't seem to be really warming to him and his style of play. So he's got a big off-season ahead to, I guess, mould that team in his shape and get them going for next year. And as you said, Ulsan, a bad week for them. They lost the Champions League semi-final to Pohang, their fierce rivals. They then lost to Seongnam, who are right down the bottom of the K-League, in the final match before their season sort of splits between the top half and the bottom half. And what that does now is drop them into second spot behind Jeonbuk and give Jeonbuk the ascendancy. And the thing with Ulsan is they have a habit of building up these leads and looking like they're going to win the title and then choking when it matters the most. And I don't know if this is another example of Ulsan doing an Ulsan, but it looks like it might be. They've got five games now to try and snatch that first place back from Jeonbuk.
Absolutely brilliant. As always, Paul, we enjoy these crosses every week and we'll do it again same time next week if we can.
Thanks, Paul.
Look forward to it. Cheers, guys.
Broski, we're out of time. What are you doing this week with your next 7 days?
I'm going to watch the boys play. Actually, Sydney FC are playing Wollongong, so I'm going to spend the day at the beach and then pop by Albert Butler and see how they go against Wollongong.
What a weekend.
Yeah.
Whilst simultaneously tending to your beard.
That'll be done on Saturday.
Right. Well, I've just moved house, so I shall be unpacking boxes and then I will be watching Manchester City against Crystal Palace, which has been one of our bogey teams over the last few years. They've managed to beat us a couple of times at the Etihad Stadium. I hope it doesn't happen. Otherwise, that's going to be a pretty miserable week for my team after going out of the Carabao Cup to West Ham on penalties. Whatever you're doing football-wise, hope you have a great week ahead. We'll see you same time, same place next Thursday. And as ever, thanks for listening.